Hello and welcome again to Sleeping Giants, the East Anglian Daily Times and Ipswich Stars sports podcast. We've been away for a bit over Christmas, so what better way to return for the start of a new year than with the FA Cup third round and, of course, the January transfer window. Our chief football writer, Stuart Watson, is here with the latest from the Blues training ground ahead of the Lincoln tie, as well as what is, or more accurately isn't, happening on the transfer front. We'll start with a brief look back at the Christmas period. Stuart, what can we take from what was a fairly indifferent set of results?
Yeah, pretty decent snapshot of the season so far, really, wasn't it? One step forward, one step back. There are positives to take from it. I think the lineups from Mick McCarthy have certainly been bolder. He's committed to playing a few more of the kids. Really strange roller coaster game at Wigan, in which they were fantastic for large periods in the first half, got absolutely battered for a spell in the second half, came out 3-2 winners, and then it all goes flat on Boxing Day, completely passed off the park by Fulham, outclassed 2-0. Again, you know, but another step forward, the Bristol City game, lots of positives to take from that, 2-1 win. And I have to say, even though they lost 2-1 at QPR on Monday, lots of positives to take from the performance. So just can't get any momentum going. Every time everyone sort of seems to just want to get behind them, the bubble bursts. So once again, as we've been saying all season, just need to get that momentum going, and it's not happening.
Well, we've got a little while to wait before we do get back to the league action, because of course we've got the cup game this weekend, Lincoln City visiting Portman Road. What do we think we'll expect from Mick McCarthy with regards to team selection? Because he's been fairly indifferent to cup games in recent years. Ipswich haven't really had much success during his tenure in either the League Cup or the FA Cup. Will that change, do you think, this time round, given what's happening in the rest of the season?
Yeah, his hands are forced. His hands, you know, he's been forced to take it seriously. Now he says he's treated it fairly indifferently. I think he's treated it with utter disdain at times, both cup competitions, which has been sad really for a club like Ipswich with such a great history in such a, you know, a famous competition, winners in 78 of course. And I think that's been, you know, one part of the McCarthy era that's really sort of stuck in the craw of many Ipswich fans. It's been sweeping changes, 8, 9, 10, 11, not unheard of changes for both competitions, as you say. His cup record, I think, is played 12 and only won 2 of those. So often it's gone to a frustrating replay first. It's delayed the inevitable of going out. Unwanted trips to Preston and Portsmouth last season. So, listen, if they were going well in the league, if they were even in touching distance mid-table of the playoffs, I think we'd have seen the usual wholesale changes, but they're not. The pressure's on. Mick knows that his stock and popularity is at an all-time low with fans at the minute, and he's been forced to take this seriously. So in answer to your question, it will be as strong a team as he can put out tomorrow, in his words.
I mean, it's unlikely to affect the league performance anyway. In fact, it could do them the power of good if they get, hopefully, fingers crossed, a nice easy win against Lincoln at the weekend. That can obviously create a bit of momentum moving into the league, but it's not as though it's clustering up the fixture calendar. The third round and the fourth round as well have got dedicated weekends for them. It's only the advent of a replay that would tie them out. So surely it's hopefully a win-win situation for Mick. He puts out a good team and gets a good result, then it could impact the league form, and it will do his stock with fans the power of good as well, you would imagine.
Well, that's the idea. I mean, they just need wins no matter who against and in what competition. They just need to generate a feel-good factor at the moment. Will it be a comfortable afternoon for them? I'm not so sure. I mean, underestimate Lincoln at your peril. They're flying in their league at the moment. The conference and the standard of non-league football, in my mind, has gone up massively in the last few years. A lot of full-time outfits, Lincoln being one of them, at that level. Look through that division now and you see the likes of Wrexham and Dagenham and Redbridge and a lot of big names at that level. And momentum's a massive thing in sport, not just football. Ipswich haven't got it, as we've discussed, and Lincoln patently have. I think they've won 31 of their or 21 of their 31 games, you get into that winning habit, and it's hard to shake off. And they're playing, from everything I've read and heard, they're playing with confidence, they're playing with swagger, they're playing, inverted commas, the right way. So we saw with Portsmouth when they came here as a League Two side last season, and chatting to Adam Webster, of course, who played for Portsmouth since transferred to Ipswich, that lower league players, they're in the shop window, the shackles are off. You know, Lincoln are under pressure to get back into the Football League. Portsmouth are under pressure to get promoted to League One. So when they come into a game like this, the shackles are off. They can play with freedom, they can play with confidence, and that could make it a very, very tricky afternoon.
Just looking at the FA Cup in a broader sense, obviously we've discussed many times that this is probably a transition season for Ipswich. We don't expect them to get anywhere higher than probably about 10th, really, especially with things going at the moment. So mid-table is fairly where they're looking for, unless things really do change for the rest of the season. So how important is the Cup in that wider sense in terms of going on a Cup run? Is it just that the third round can be used by Mick McCarthy to get a win for the team, raise his popularity a little bit, and hopefully create something that will impact the league, and then the later rounds of the Cup, should Ipswich get there, fall by the wayside again? Or is this an opportunity, or is it even relevant for Ipswich to go on a run in the Cup and get maybe to the fifth round, the quarterfinals, if not further? Or is that just completely pointless for them this season?
I just think it's a chance to win back over fans, to get some of that, to get some of that feel-good factor back off of them, to some of the goodwill that's probably been lost from the fans. And I think a lot of that goodwill that has dissipated in recent times has probably been through Mick's own making, and he's been his own worst enemy at times, both in the way that he's treated the Cup competitions. And you can argue that that's understandable, that with the wealth that comes with league and promotion and everything at the moment, that, you know, they're not the only team that have, let's get that right, they're not the only team that has treated the Cup top competitions as such. But that, and the way he speaks about and to fans in his post-match press conferences, has been quite, he bristles at criticism, it's often quite defensive and dismissive. Even, you know, his explanation of the substitutions at QPR on Monday, you know, didn't go down well with some. So to treat the Cup properly and seriously, I think would help to get some of that goodwill back from fans, which is gone. I don't think, you know, it's the money that you get from it, the prestige you get from it, all the other things that are, you know, even if it gave them a boost in the league, all of that is secondary. It is purely just about trying to just get the supporters back on side and get them united behind the cause again, really.
So would a mid-table finish at the end of the season, but a run to the latter stages, maybe the quarter-finals of the Cup, repair some of the damage that might have been done with the fans this season? Would they then look on that in hindsight as being actually a bit of an all-right season based on a good Cup run?
I don't think it really matters how far they get in the Cup per se, or where they finish in the league per se. It's about the approach, both through words and actions from Mick now, that suggests that there is light at the end of the tunnel, that suggests there is a long-term plan. Marcus Evans has obviously given his thoughts in the programme over Christmas, outlined his long-term plan, which is, I would think, most people of a sensible mind would say it's realistic. It's talking about producing from the academy, talking about buying players young and developing, and being able to compete in an unlevel playing field. And like it or not, Ipswich and Marcus Evans aren't at the level of some of these Chinese owners and investors that are chucking money about. And it's getting back to the Ipswich way, the you know, the Ipswich tradition of producing from within. I think everyone's on board with that. They just need to see evidence now that Mick McCarthy is fully on board with that. And I'm yet to be convinced that he is completely on board with it, because he's only just started playing the Josh Emmanuels and Miles Kenlocks regularly in the last few weeks. Whether that's under a little bit of pressure from what Marcus has said, I don't know. I mean, we've waited half a season to finally get a glimpse of Andre Dizel. He comes on 20 minutes, absolutely brilliant against Bristol City, changes the game. Even Mick himself describes it as a masterclass. And then we get 20 minutes from the end at QPR and it's Jonathan Douglas, not Andre Dizel, that comes on. Now, some of the stick that Douglas gets, I think, has been over the top and unfair, but he's not the future at 35 years of age. If we're calling this a transitional season, then come on, let's give Dizel a chance a little bit more in those sort of scenarios. And hopefully now Emmanuel and Kenlock don't just get ditched after one game as soon as senior players are available. But Emmanuel has a good first half at QPR. He's the one that gets the hook at half time. So listen, Mick sees these players week in, week out. We have to trust that he knows who's ready and what he sees on the training pitch. But as you say, a transitional season, I don't think anyone's expecting any wonders in the cup or league in the second half of the season, but they just want to see some kids play. They just want to see more of a bolder attacking approach and a little bit more entertainment. That's all we want from the second half of the season.
Returning to the league, then obviously a break this weekend. Is that going to be good or bad for talent? We've spoken about momentum being a good thing, however you get the wins, but might talent take their eye off the ball a little bit, or will it be absence makes the heart grow fonder, in a sense?
Sorry, what in what sense?
In having a break from the league this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, I asked Mick this, whether there was more or less pressure on this game because of the nature of it. I think the fact that it's a non-league side in Lincoln means that they can't afford to sort of take their eye off the ball, and the wider footballing world are all going to be looking for the classic giant killing, the classic cup set in the third round. And on paper, Portman Road probably looks like the place it's most likely, looking at the fixtures. So I don't think there's any more or less pressure than there will be going into the home game against Blackburn on Saturday. They know the repercussions, they know the headlines and the mood that will come from the stands if they don't win on Saturday. So listen, the league is far from their minds at the moment, and they need to get the job done on Saturday first and foremost.
We've all been looking forward to January for one main thing. Well, looking forward might be a bit of a strong way to put it, but always a sense of intrigue around the January transfer window. Is it a good time to buy players? Is it possible to buy players in the January transfer window for anything other than hugely inflated prices? How much are the big boys going to spend? Who's going to lose their top players? A lot of that could apply to Ipswich. There's been sort of whisperings of players coming in. We've already seen Luke Varney leave the club from his at the end of his short-term deal, and there's been speculation that Bielkowski or Webster could leave. That's probably the town fans' worst fear. What's happening on the transfer front at the moment? Is there any news about incoming players, or could anyone else be leaving?
Not a lot is probably the short answer to that one. Fans, cynical fans, will probably not be surprised at that. I was surprised when Mick said just a few days before the window opening that he was hopeful of getting people in sooner rather than later, because just a few weeks earlier he'd been talking about what a hard window it is to do business. And I can hear people now sort of crying out, you know, we've heard it all before, it's excuses, show some ambition and whatnot. I have to say, it is a difficult month to do business now more than ever, because there's no emergency loan window, so people have been waiting to get people in. People aren't perhaps willing to let players go so readily because they want to make sure they've got large enough squads to cover. Mick's talked about clubs, you know, wanting to have bigger squads to cover for the African Cup of Nations, which is coming up, things like that. They've not helped themselves, Ipswich, because they've let Daryl Murphy go without having a replacement lined up. Luke Varney's obviously now gone at the end of his short-term deal. I don't think that was any surprise. He was always a short-term fix, wasn't the long-term answer. But what it has done is it sent out a message loud and clear to everyone else that we're desperate for a striker. And I think the prices are going up accordingly. And are Ipswich in a position to play a bit of brinkmanship, a bit of cat and mouse right up until the 31st of January? Not really, because it might all fall flat and they might end up short. And they kind of need some fresh faces and some fresh bodies through the door sooner rather than later, just to inject a bit of feel-good factor. And Mick touched upon it himself. Someone can come in, score on their debut, do something great, and suddenly everything feels a lot brighter. But they're a long way off from doing it at the moment. I get the feeling that Danny Ward is still one of the top targets at Rotherham, scoring a lot of goals in a struggling team. Mick's tried to sign him before when he was at Huddersfield. He'd be a Murphy like-for-like replacement. He's strong, he's left-footed. He'd be a bit more of a focal point to the attack. But the Rotherham manager said there's been no bid from Ipswich, although he admitted there's been an inquiry of sorts from Mick. He's out of contract in the summer. I think it's pretty inevitable that he will go probably for a knockdown price at some point this month. But it depends whether Ipswich want to play silly buggers with the fee, or whether they just, Marcus just swallows it and just says, okay, what's your asking price? Here it is. You know, I don't think they're in a position to play mind games with fees. They've just got to get something done.
Is it just the positions up front that they're looking at, or could we possibly see a bit of activity in midfield, or possibly that long debated right back position?
I don't think that's something that will be done mid-season. I think it will be a case of getting a striker or two sorted this January, and then maybe looking at other areas in the summer when it's a better time to do business. We keep talking about finally sorting out the right back situation. Been a few strange link with Luke Chambers and Wolves this month, which Mick didn't go out of his way to knock down. I have to be honest, we spoke to him after QPR and I thought it would be a complete laugh-off rebuffal of that, but he just sort of said, not something I've heard. I don't want to lose any of my players, but you know, there's no way at all that Luke Chambers is going to be leaving. So maybe they are starting to think about that right back slot, I don't know. Centre midfield would be the other area that you would say for years they've been crying out for a proper box-to-box Jim Magilton-esque player. Again, they don't come cheap, they're not easy to find, everyone's after them, but I think that those positions are probably more of a summer priority, and just get the striker sorted in January. And going back to your original point about players potentially leaving, I don't see either Bart or Webster going. Certainly having spoken to Webster yesterday, he's been very self-critical about his own form recently. As good as he was early on, there have been a few errors. It's been a big step up from League Two to the Championship, and he himself admits he's got to prove himself at this level before he looks to move on elsewhere. So don't see either of those two moving on.
Just on potential acquisitions quickly, with the striker being the position that Ipswich are looking at, possibly looking at bringing in two players as well. Okay, we've had Varney leave, but that still leaves Sears, McGoldrick, Pittman, Betts. What would it mean for those four players if another two came in and gave them six strikers? Obviously, there's going to be a lot of competition for places. Is Freddie Sears going to want to be playing out wide for the rest of his life? Are Pittman and McGoldrick going to be looking at it thinking, well, we think we might have been doing all right, but these two guys have come in? What does that mean for our careers at Ipswich?
Yeah, I think it's less about numbers up front and more about the type of striker. I think they're looking more for that Murphy, target man player that can be the focal point of the attack. And that was so, losing Murphy wasn't so much about his form and his goals, but it was as much about the role that he played in the team, and it was so integral to the way Ipswich played. And they've had to try and adapt completely the way they've played, which might not have been a bad thing at times, but I think it's important that they still have that option to be able to play that way in certain games. And Brett Pittman is a great all-rounder. You know, he's not bad in the air, but that's not his game per se. Leon Best appears to be a bit of a lost cause at the moment. I'm only going on, you know, no inside information, just literally on the way Mick's used him. I thought he came in, I thought he played reasonably well in those early games, but once Mick seems to have made up his mind on a player that they're not for him, then that seems to be it, and we haven't seen a great deal of Leon recently, and I wouldn't be surprised if he joins Mutual Consent FC and ends up having his contract torn up prematurely. I certainly don't see him lasting beyond the end of his contract at the end of this summer. I think, you know, rather than numbers, it's more about the type of striker that they need, really.
And finally, on departures, well, I suppose the other big fear of town fans is the fate of Tom Lawrence. Now, Mick's already said he's probably going to be out of Ipswich's price range to purchase. We know he can't be recalled by Leicester to play for them, but he can be recalled to be sold. Now, if he's going to be sold, it clearly isn't going to be to Ipswich from what McCarthy's been saying. Do we know if there's any interest in him, and is it likely that Town could lose someone who's been probably one of their standout performers in recent weeks?
Well, it will be no secret how well he's playing for Ipswich. He's been by far and away their best player this season. If you were doing the vote now, he would sweep the board, I'm sure. Another sensational goal at QPR on Monday, you know, a long range strike. It came off the back of that fantastic solo goal at Sheffield Wednesday, but it's not just been that, it's been his direct play. He's been the one player that really gets people off their seats. Ball sticks to his feet, he's really direct. Set pieces have been pretty good as well. So anybody worth their salt in the Championship will be having a look at him. Doesn't seem to have any sort of future at Leicester, because every time we speak to him, he says, I've not heard anything. He basically seems to be the forgotten man at Leicester, loaned out last season. Listen, they're winning the Premier League, so clearly Tom Lawrence wasn't top of their thoughts then. You'd have thought maybe they might be looking at him a little bit more now, given their slight struggles, but he doesn't seem to have a future there, despite having a longer-term contract. I'm sure teams pushing for promotion in this division would be having a look at him. The likes of Derby, dare I say it, Norwich have even been linked with him. They've got far better spending power than Ipswich, and as we saw with Ryan Tunnicliffe a few years ago, there's not a lot you can do if the club, your employer, decides to recall you and flog you for a bit of money. So that would be a bigger concern for me than potentially losing Webster and Bielkowski, because Ipswich would be powerless to stop it. So don't rule that one out.
Is there something a bit sad, really, in the fact that Ipswich have got a great player in on loan? He's clearly enjoying playing his football with Ipswich. He's got assists, he's got goals, he's in the team regularly. They're clearly treating him better than it seems Leicester have. So they're doing something for him, and hopefully winning him over and winning a place in his thoughts and his hearts. But should the crunch come, they wouldn't be able to do anything to try and get hold of him, despite the fact that they've been the people that have shown some faith in him when the chips were down, as it were.
Yeah, but I don't blame the player for looking to sort of progress their career. He's probably looking at Ipswich and thinking that, you know, they're not exactly pushing for the Premier League at the moment. And listen, he's only been here for a few months. He's not got huge loyalties to Ipswich. I think what's sad is perhaps that Ipswich's best players in recent times have been loan players. Now there's no huge reliance on loan players as there was a few years ago towards the end of the dual era, when the whole spine of the team was packed with them. The club's done very well to sort of cut that down, and they are buying younger players to produce, you know, your Websters and your Wards are permanent players. But Tom Lawrence is a loanee and he's been their best player. Ryan Fraser last season was superb and has obviously gone back to Bournemouth and is ripping it up for them in the Premier League. And I guess that's the nature of the Championship, that if you're a club like Ipswich without the parachute payments and without the big money, that your best way of competing is to get those top class loanees and enjoy them while you can, basically.
Very quickly, just before we wrap things up, Luke Barney leaving, was that foreseen, and is it going to be proven to be good or bad for Ipswich in the end?
I think so. No great surprises. It was a bit of an emergency call once Murphy went, to get him back in. Safe pair of hands, top bloke around the place, gives his all on the pitch. He did his job. He scored a few, the odd important goal here and there, but at 34, again, not the long-term answer. I think his family are based up in the Midlands around Leicester way, so I think it suited all parties and it's probably best for both that Ipswich looked elsewhere.
And just quickly at Lincoln for the weekend, do we think it's going to be progression to the fourth round of the Cup for Town, or will we be steeped in the usual disappointment?
Well, I've put a narrow Ipswich win 2-1 in the newspaper, but as I say, I got a feeling it could be a long, uncomfortable afternoon. It's going to be a strange old atmosphere, 13,000 of which there's going to be 5,000 Lincoln fans. So 12th man, momentum with them, no momentum for Ipswich. I've just seen enough in the last two games to suggest that Ipswich, both in terms of quality and more importantly character, will have enough to get through.
There we go. Well, that's all we've got time for on this week's Sleeping Giants. We will be back again after the FA Cup win. Hopefully we will be able to enjoy a fourth round draw with Ipswich Town's name in the hat. We'll also be looking forward to Town's next league game, which, as Stuart has mentioned, is at home to Blackburn. And we'll also be keeping you updated on the latest transfer news, if of course there is any. Thanks to Stuart, and thanks to listening.